Well, good morning. Before the days of cuts in local government services, some public toilets had their own attendants employed to keep them clean, to ensure that the toilet paper never runs out, and that they were vandal-free. One such was situated in the commercial district of Liverpool. An office worker who regularly visited nearby church grounds to eat his lunch would often pay a visit on his way back to work. And he began to strike up conversations with the attendant on his visits. One day, he mentioned that he'd be flying abroad for his holiday for the next couple of weeks. He asked the attendant if he was taking any holidays himself, and was surprised when the man replied that he'd never taken any time off work. The office worker encouraged him to contact his boss and arranged to take some time off. A few weeks later, the office worker returned from his holiday, and on his first day back at work, a particularly hot, sunny one, he went to eat his lunch in the usual way in the church grounds and made his way back to the toilet on the way back to his office. He was surprised to find the attendant in sunglasses, shorts, and a t-shirt sitting on a deck chair outside the toilet, sunbathing. When the office worker asked him what he was doing, the attendant replied, "Well, I took your advice and asked my boss for some holiday leave." And he replied, "Yes, I could take 2 weeks at my own convenience." Well, at this time of year, if you haven't already been, many of us are thinking of going for a break away over the summer, away from the routine of work or life or home or whatever. Eunice and I were very blessed to be able to spend 10 days in Sorrento a few years ago. And among the many happy memories we returned with were those of a visit to the site of Herculaneum. Now, this town in the suburb of Naples was, like the more well-known Pompeii, devastated by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in AD 79. Most visitors to the area visit the huge site of ancient Pompeii with its ruined buildings and statue-like remains of its inhabitants. Fewer people visit the remains of Herculaneum, which, though smaller in size, has almost perfectly preserved streets, buildings, and even artifacts such as a large iron in a laundry shop. Like most tourist groups, we used a guide to show us around the town, and when we were traveling with her to the site in our coach, she mentioned something about giving us all whispers before going on the tour. It turned out that this was what the guides called the radio receivers with a strap so that they could go around your neck and earphones that they gave to each member of their party. It allowed each guide to be heard only by the party they accompanied. They'd speak into a small radio mic and the radio receivers would pick it up. This way, the tourist group such as ours could hear our guide quite clearly, even if she was some distance away from us, and we were able to focus on her voice rather than that of others in the vicinity, because when we went, there were quite a lot of tourist groups, all with their own guides, and it could have been quite confusing otherwise. Now, all this reminded me of what Jesus said when he described himself as the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. He says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger." In this passage, Jesus gives us some vital clues about the life that we're called to live. And so I want us this morning to spend the short time we have together thinking about those things. The first point he makes is that his sheep hear his voice. Now, if you think about it, this implies that not everyone listens to him, because not everyone is one of his sheep. There were other shepherds and other flocks of sheep in those days, and sheep will listen to and respond only to their own shepherd. Sheep won't follow a stranger. There were other groups of tourists in Herculaneum at the same time as our group, each with their own guide. No way were any of us tempted to follow them. Some didn't speak our language, and none of them would have led us back to our coach at the end of the day. I wonder, who's your shepherd? Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." We're all following lives of our own choosing. And in the same way that you can guarantee that sheep will come to no good if left to fend for themselves, neither will we. Our own way is sin, and the wages of sin is death. Yet, as Isaiah 53 verse 6 goes on to say, God laid the punishment for all our sins on Jesus. Just like that beautiful illustration that Danny did earlier on with the children. All the punishment, all the sins were laid on that one snake. And in the same way, God laid the punishment for all our sins on Jesus, so that we can find life through him. And if that's where you're at today, why not do something about it? Often, God's sheep don't hear his voice because they're too busy rushing through life, too obsessed with things or even doing stuff for God. Charles Swindoll describes it in this way: busyness rapes relationships. It substitutes shallow frenzy for deep friendships. It promises satisfying dreams but delivers hollow nightmares. It feeds the ego but starves the inner man. It fills a calendar but fractures a family. It cultivates a program but plows under priorities. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." But how many of us fill our time with things and then don't just give us the space and time to listen to him? And how do we hear his voice? Well, in Herculaneum, we had to keep our earpieces in our ears to ensure that we didn't miss a word of the fascinating information that our guide spoke about life in that ancient town, but also to ensure that we didn't become separated from our party and possibly miss the coach home. But does God speak to us in the same way as that guide spoke to Eunice and I? Can we hear his voice today? Some time ago, I was trying to help someone who came to me in a very distraught frame of mind. He felt that God was angry with him for sins he'd committed in the past, and that as he hadn't physically heard God's voice, God must have abandoned him. I was able to show him that far from abandoning him, God had spoken to him in a love letter, this one, telling him how even that man's former rejection of God wasn't enough to separate him from God as he turned back to him. There have been instances when Christians have heard the actual voice or an actual voice speaking words into their life, but this tends to be an exception, not the rule. Mostly today, God speaks through that love letter, his written word, the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 16, it says that the Bible is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in all righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you think about it, this means that through the Bible, God teaches, rebukes, corrects, and trains us. So when you want to hear from God, look into his word. And if you're not sure how to go about reading your Bible, well, there are plenty of people here today who could help you. Just ask. The second point is God also speaks to us through the wisdom and counsel of other Christians. The book of Proverbs often advises us to seek wise advice. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 15, 22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Make plans by seeking advice, it says in Proverbs 20, verse 18. However, it is to God that we look for our guidance, and the advice of Christian friends is only part of that. So whom should we ask for advice amongst our Christian friends? Someone who honors God, someone who is wise and experienced, whom we respect. Sometimes it's good to seek advice from more than one person over a big decision. But don't ask the sort of person whom you think will agree with what you've already planned to do anyway. Recipe for disaster. Third point, God also speaks through circumstances. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps, as it says in Proverbs 16, verse 9. God sometimes opens doors. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, Paul was encouraged to remain in Ephesus because of a door that had opened. Whereas in Acts chapter 16, verse 7, a door was closed when Paul was unable to travel to Bithynia. We shouldn't be in a hurry. You may have to wait a long time for guidance to come on some issues. Have you made too much of a mess of your life? God can give us a meaningful future with him. As he says in Joel 2, verse 25, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. The fourth point, he speaks through the Holy Spirit. He often speaks to us as we pray. Let's make sure that our prayers are not those one-way prayers, talking to him and not expecting an answer. As the Christians were worshipping and praying in Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So how did God speak to them in that case? Possibly this thought came to their minds, or they may have had an impression or a feeling in their bones. Such thoughts will need to be tested by Scripture as to whether they promote love and as to whether they're strengthening, encouraging, and loving. And when you've made a decision, do you have peace? That peace can be God speaking into your life. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Another way he can speak to us is through a fleece. Gideon wasn't the confident type. You might even say he had a siege mentality, which wasn't entirely surprising, given that he lived in an occupied country where crops were destroyed, where livestock slaughtered, and his life was made a misery. The persecution got so bad that he had to hide in an empty wine press and thresh his wheat in secret. He wasn't really superhero material. And then things got worse. God came and told him to do an exceedingly risky series of things, like opposing the religious corruption that was rife in his society, that was even accepted as part of his own family life. As you'd imagine, Gideon didn't exactly leap at the idea. But since his obedience appeared to be key to getting rid of the occupying army, he cautiously asked God for a sign that he was hearing things correctly by seeing what happened to a sheep's fleece left out overnight. To this day, people still refer to that fleece as a byword for asking God if he really means what we think he's saying. A woman I heard of had one of those, am I hearing things, situations once. She and her husband felt that God had told them to take in two small children into their family. As a working mum with three children of her own, she thought the idea of adding a preschooler and a five-year-old seemed really complicated. She was a writer and she'd been contracted to produce two books. She needed to be a three-child mother, not a five-child one. Something had to give. Give me a sign about whether I can continue working, she prayed. Something that I can't possibly argue or organize away. The letter came a few weeks later. Will you travel across the country and spend a day speaking to our ladies' retreat? Asked the complete stranger. No chance. She knew she couldn't add anything else to her already chaotic life. But it didn't end there. A second letter came. You must be so busy, said her correspondent, a lady called Anne. My husband and I feel that God wants us to give you enough money to employ a secretary one day a week for a year, check enclosed. Now, in the days before computers, this allowed the woman, who was a very poor typist, to get her manuscripts typed professionally and saved hours of work. The books got written, and all five children were cared for. Years later, she met Anne and told her how her generosity had been the answer to her Gideon's fleece. Anne smiled wryly. My husband had just lost his job when I contacted you, and giving the money away seemed to be such a crazy thing to do, she said. But we've learned over the years that when God speaks, you'd better take notice. Some people think that if God exists at all, he just set things in motion and left us to get on with our lives. Many more know that God is all about relationship and wants to speak to us today. The sheep not only hear him, but they follow him. Back in Herculaneum, at one point, we all entered a large Italian house, and our guide told us we'd walk part the way round it, leaving by another exit. Some of our party had heard this, but they carried on walking around the house, and so we had to wait some time for them to come out and rejoin the party. It's not enough to hear our shepherd's voice. We need to follow him to get where we should be. James 1 verse 22 says, we should be doers of the word and not just hearers. I wonder how many of us listen to what's said on a Sunday morning by John and Myra, myself and others, and maybe even enjoy it. How many of us go to small group and study the Bible? But how many of us have actually applied what we've heard and what we've discovered through Sundays and through Wednesdays to ourselves? How many of us have actually done something new or have stopped doing something as a result of what God said to us in response to God's voice? Because if we haven't, then we should be asking why. Unless, of course, God doesn't speak, in which case, why bother turning up today? If he doesn't speak, you might just as well stay in bed or do something else. And if he does have things to say to us and we don't respond, what does that make us? Perhaps we don't hear God speak because we don't expect him to. During a time of persecution described in Acts chapter 12, Peter, one of the leaders of the early church, was arrested for preaching the good news of Jesus and put in prison pending a trial. The church in Jerusalem prayed for his release, and whilst they were praying, he was miraculously set free. So Peter went to where the church was praying and knocked on the door. One of them recognized his voice, but instead of unlocking the door, went and interrupted the prayer meeting with the news that Peter was free and standing outside. The others at first thought it couldn't possibly be him, so they kept on praying. And Peter kept on knocking until they let him in and realized that God actually had answered their prayers. Sometimes we don't respond to God speaking to us because we don't like what we hear. Just like the man who went for a walk along a cliff-top path. He stumbled and fell over the cliff, but managed to grab hold of a tree root on the way down. As he clung there for his life, he shouted, "Help! Is there anyone there?" God replied to him, "Yes, I'm here." "What do you want me to do?" he said. "Let go of the root and I'll catch you," said God. There was a pause, then the man shouted, "Is there anyone else up there?" So if we haven't responded to what God's been saying or haven't expected to hear from him, either way, we've settled for less. And we're losing out on the blessing that comes from hearing God and doing his will. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, God invites us to call to him, and he will answer and show us the great and mighty things that we don't know. So I want to leave you with this challenge today. Do you want to move to the next level in your relationship with God? Do you want to hear and do the mighty things of God? What's God saying to you today? And what are you going to do about it? I'm just going to pause for a minute before I go on, because I think God is saying something today to people. Let's just be still and listen. And as we close, instead of standing and singing a final song, I want you to sit and listen to the final song. The words will be projected on the screen. Think about the words, and maybe God will still speak to you as you listen. Thank you.